Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from the Wolves Fancast. Joining me to discuss yet another 1-1 with Newcastle. We've had this strange set of results of 1-1 over the years with them, and this was no exception. Adam. Adam, how are you doing?
Evening.
Evening, and evening to Gully.
Hi, Hoops.
Hello, and finally, Stu.
One of the joys of autumn, hello.
Your backdrop's a bit autumnal. What colour would you say that is? That a lime green background you've got?
It's actually an African sunshine, which is it's yellowish, but it's just the darkness. The darkness of drawing against Newcastle again that's pulled the curtain over us all.
I love these names. Well, these names are great because I this wall I would describe as grey, but I think when I ask the missus when we're looking for it, I'm pretty sure it's elephant's breath. Which is just bizarre.
Names are great, aren't they? Names. I've been painting some palettes for the garden stuff I've been doing, and mine's Coastal Mist.
Nice.
Basically, sky blue.
Yeah, lots of fun to be had on a Dulux paint chart, but hey, that ties us into today's game. Yeah, it was a bit like washing paint. No, we'll have a look at obviously today's or this evening's game in a moment. We'll go over the details on that. Just before we do that, just a little bit of housekeeping, really, in terms of the Fancast and some latest news, which you may or may not be aware of. So first up, really, is the YouTube channel. Big thank you to everybody who has liked and subscribed to the channel. If you haven't done so far, I really would recommend it because we're adding new content to the channel all of the time. We started with the episode of Stories from the Pack, which is continuing on YouTube. And also we've added, as Gully is in charge of, Fancast GTA, which is Gully's tactical analysis. And then most recently, we've got Fancast FIFA Greet as well, where Dan gets basically an opposition supporter on as a game of FIFA and just choose the fact with them. So really recommend you view that. There's lots of content going on. So if you can do like and subscribe. In other news, really heartened to see, obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment, which Marcus Rashford sort of brought to the core about free school meals and so forth and helping out in the community. And there's a Wolves supporter you may have seen, Kim Smith, and she's launched a Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding/boycott pay-per-view, which I think was the main principle behind the idea. Our next game against Palace is on pay-per-view. And I think, was it our opponents Newcastle who kind of started the ball rolling on this one, gents?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
So I think the idea really is you can still obviously watch the game if you want to, but if you choose not to, then an idea, I think, is the principle is putting your money perhaps elsewhere, and that's supporting the Welling Wolverhampton. And if you want any details, as I say, justgiving.com/crowdfunding/boycott pay-per-view. And if you want to donate and raise funds, then it'll be going to obviously a fantastic cause. And at the time of recording, I think they're up to about $3,000. So I just thought that was worth a mention if people want to support, should they be able to. And there was another game as well, the men's game. Wolves women, I believe, won 3-2 today and kept their position at the top of their respective league. And it was a timely celebration for Anna Price, who has clocked up 300 appearances for Wolves Women. So a quick nod to them and a congratulations. They're starting where they left off last season as well. OK, so let's crack on with the Newcastle game, if we will. We always do is we start with the preview, take us back to the team as it was announced. One change from the previous game in terms of the starting 11, which was the introduction of Neves for Moutinho. What were your thoughts on the team going in there this evening, gents?
Well, I just said it would have been almost perfect apart from Saïss, and then that whole first half kind of proved that fact for me. Everything you couldn't really, going on Kilman's performance at Leeds on Monday, you couldn't drop him, and Neves and Moutinho, it's like everyone said, anyone and Dendonka in the middle. So that's really the only two that you can rotate at the minute. So for me, apart from Sace, it was perfect.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. It was always going to be the case that Nuno kept the team as it was because we know what he's like. He likes a consistent lineup, but you've got to do a bit of a horses for courses kind of approach at times. And he stuck with the lads who got the victory against Leeds, but that's a totally different proposition. So as much as I expected that to happen, I was hoping he'd see a little bit further into the depths of the game and see what was going to work for us and make a slight change down the left-hand side. He didn't do it, and we kind of faltered as a result, I feel.
And Adam, what were your thoughts in terms of the selection? I guess as above, really, it was, you know, Moutinho, I think, as an ugly reference, it's kind of been Dendonka plus one. But Moutinho didn't do too much wrong in the Leeds game, I thought.
No, I mean, yeah, the team I was happy with. Obviously, as has been said, that left wing back position is the sticking point at the moment. I do think that Nuno shows his loyalty to who's in the team at that position at that current time, and he hadn't, while he'd been functional in that left wing back role, I didn't see him dropping Sace. Maybe that changes for the next game. On the Moutinho point, no, he didn't do too much wrong, but then I think we all kind of are expecting to see a changing of the guard in that midfield position, and that Moutinho would start to be phased out, and we should be seeing more of Neves alongside Dendonka. We don't need to go into the fact that Neves and Moutinho shouldn't play together anymore. So it should always, for me, it should be Dendonka and Neves going forward, really, and Moutinho slowly tries to be phased out more towards, I don't want to be harsh to him to say that he relegated just to a point of coming on to, you know, contain games, but he's still going to start games going forward for us, Moutinho. But I do see, you know, Dendonka and Neves for this season being our main two midfield. So overall, I was happy, no qualms at all with the starting lineup.
And were you heartened by the Newcastle side as well? Because from what I gather, it was a bit of a makeshift Newcastle side and perhaps a different change of approach from Newcastle being a bit more attacking. And I think I myself going in, I mean, let me know your thoughts, gents. I thought, well, that could play into our favour, but wasn't quite the case, was it?
I never said anything about it whatsoever because you know exactly what they're going to do. And they did it again. It's whoever yeah. they play the same way. It's just annoying. And you looked at the lineup, and they could have, you know, they could have bought Philippe Albert out of retirement, and he would have played exactly the same way.
It was a botched job of a team, though, Stu. I get what you're saying about they're gonna. If I've got a midfield three in front of me of Jeff Hendrick as your deep lying sitting midfielder who has no kind of defensive acumen to really speak of. He's a guy that gets into the box and tries to score goals. And then you've got Ryan Fraser and Almer on either side of him. That's a team you should be looking to take advantage of, ultimately. And I don't necessarily feel like we did that. Going back to the point about Dendonka plus one, you wonder if this is the kind of game where Neves and Moutinho can play together, because there wasn't really much for them to worry about going in towards our own goal. So with the quality of their passing and being a bit cuter with the ball at their feet, is that something where Nuno again has maybe missed a bit of a trick?
I still think with Dendonka, though, he still poses a bit more of a goal threat, because he's got probably more goals for us than Moutinho has since he's been here.
And
occasionally I did see him getting forward. You know, he did get forward quite a bit in this game as well. And he's, you know, we've seen games this season where he's been on the edge of the area. And I think he's got a good finish on him, Dendonka has. We don't see it very often, but I'd still think that he was probably the right decision to play him. Obviously, you know, I can understand what you mean, but unfortunately for us, we have a player that we could have done with tonight, and just in general, is a driving midfield player, you know, that breaks forward from midfield. Unfortunately, someone, I think, as we mentioned in our WhatsApp group, someone like a Ross Barkley, sadly, you know, someone like him who can drive from midfield and make things happen, which I don't really see that we have at the moment in our squad. Well,
you say that, but we've signed someone on loan who's not even featured tonight, even on the bench.
For that exact reason. Yeah, I was thinking of him just as I was talking, and nowhere to be seen again at the moment. Whether it was in the initiation period still.
Exactly.
To be honest, I was thinking about Alfred Ndiaye, because I was thinking, you know, obviously not now, but, you know, in terms of sort of a driving and a physical presence. You know, I'm obviously a big fan of Tendonka, but I think that there's times where, you know, if we agree, as Price referenced there, that Neves and Moutinho, generally speaking, is a project that is no longer productive for us. If Tendonka's off form, it still worries me. And if you say whether or not Moutinho is having this very slow bedding in process, because he appears, because that's all we can say at this stage, because we don't benefit from seeing him in games, to be that player who will perhaps drive on and... but that wasn't... I think we'll get to, obviously, the game. I don't think that was the issue, was it? I think it's probably been borne out, that midfield pairing today. I mean, if we move on to the game itself and the first half, first 10 minutes we seemed to start well. I think Podence had one on target, one off target. They came back into it. Stu, what was your thoughts on the first half? And what I'm interested from all of you as well is, one player who I think we put a fan cast post up about this week is Semedo, because I think many thought perhaps he didn't have a good game against Leeds. I was in that camp. Talk to me about the first half, but I'm interested to hear all of your views on Semedo, because for me he was a positive tonight, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, I thought he was much better. I mean, it's more of his kind of game, just getting forward more than actually defending. But talking about Tendonka then, I thought, I can't remember him even being mentioned in commentary, but that left Neves free. And I thought Neves had his best half for a while for us in the first half, especially. He was popping up here and there and everywhere. And the ball he put through to Neto to pull back. And I thought that was it. They talked about his vision and stuff. And there's only him and Moutinho would do that kind of thing. And with a bit of a shield in front of him. I know he came from Semedo as well, but I thought there was points in the first half, which is encouraging. But then, as per usual, it just turned shit again. It's just usual first half Wolves. After, I thought, oh, we've gone 15, 20 minutes here, we haven't scored. Oh, let's just go back to normal again. And I thought, well, I was almost on the edge of my sofa, and then I just kind of sunk back into obscurity again at another Banks's Amber. But it was just... There was no excuse for it. Like Gully said, when you look at the side that they put out and that midfield that they put out, there were times in that first 20 minutes where we were absolutely battering them with no end product again. And it was a lot of possession, which Nuno said, OK, we want more of. But what's the point when you don't do anything with it? I'd rather be the other way around and give everyone else possession and hit them on the break and actually get a result rather than play like that and just piss about with it. But There was promising signs, but then it all faded away again.
Yeah, I mean, Gully, Stu mentioned their possession. I think it's a point worth making, because I think we saw in the Leeds game, for example, where it was a typical Wolves performance where I think the stats, don't quote me on it, you probably know more than me, was about 60% at least in Leeds' favour. And obviously we got the result. But do you think it was just the fact that, was it no end product, or were we not quick enough in possession today? Gully, what did you think?
I think it's Nuno's obsession is balance constantly. He wants to be in a position where you can attack, but you can still defend, and vice versa, basically. And being that way inclined, we're never going to overcommit players into forward positions. If you look at when we've got the ball wide, how many players are getting into the box? It's very rarely more than two. And yet we're putting in hopeful crosses that, you know, they have to be like right on the money, or you get a bit of luck to get anything from them. And that's not something that you should be playing. It's not a mentality you should have against a team like Newcastle, who you've got on the ropes for the first 20 minutes. I think they kind of figured out that stopping our play down the right wing in the first half was a way to stop us from getting into advanced positions. And then, like you say, we did fade a little bit in that first half. But if you're, again, not, you're not committing, and you've got to take a risk. You've got to put the ball at risk, and you've got to put your kind of system at risk at sometimes just to kind of reap the rewards that comes with that. And that might be overcommitting a player from now and then. It might be committing Dendonka to the box a little bit more than he already does. You know, just little things that Nuno won't forsake in lieu of his philosophy. I mean, what I will say, there was one moment when Jimenez went into the box. If he squared it to Pedence, it was 1-0. It was a tap-in. Really, really straightforward chance. But he decided to go for goal with his left foot. I can't remember last time I saw him score with his left foot. He's better off reboning it, because that's what he tries to do most of the time.
Spurs away.
Yeah.
But, you know, little, again, decision-making final third, little things like that just really frustrate.
Adam, for yourself, I think you said in the WhatsApp group, you weren't really surprised with the first half. And was that down to the fact that you kind of felt it told a similar story to what we've seen already this season in terms of a game of little chances from a Wolves perspective? Or did you kind of think that it was just, it was sort of a very tactical first half?
It's just what we do, isn't it? It's what we do. We just contain first half in every game. Last time that I checked, it was like 28 of the last 26. We went in at 0-0 half time. It's not even by accident there. It's purely by design. This trait of just giving ourselves the second half to win games. And if it's not a tactic, it's something that's it's just this mentality that's got ingrained in the players' minds, which is bizarre, really. You know, and as far as Newcastle goes, I mean, they purely came just to spoil the game. It's quite clear, and maybe that was an element because of the team they're about to put out, you know, with some players missing and what have you. But five across the back and, you know, Bodge job everywhere else. They just wanted to spoil. And I think it was referenced in commentary where I watched it. It was just saying that Newcastle are just here they're just here to stop Wolves, essentially. And again, reference was made that we had all the ball. We were making infinitely more passes than Newcastle were, but it just wasn't going anywhere. It was just the old sideways backwards pass, which is fine for a bit when, you know, you're feeling your way into the game. But when you're looking for a bit more creativity and incision, it doesn't go anywhere. And as you said, I think the first part of the first half was okay. But after that, I really started to struggle, to be honest. I'd had a really big dinner as well, and I was quite tired. And you know what? At some point, I could have fell asleep initially. Like, it sounds bad saying that, but that's just how it was going, because nothing was really happening, you know. And I think Pedence had his shot. And yes, Jimenez should have squared it to him, because, yeah, the last goal I remember him scoring his left foot was, I think it wasn't the Spurs 3-2 game, wasn't it? Back end of last season, at their place. Yeah. But yeah, that would have been, I would have had confidence for then putting that one away. But other than that, again, it just added to the collection. First half, nothing to write home about, really.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those. I heard Nuno after the game, and he was asked, as he seems to be probably pissed off about being asked this question, but if the first half are going to continue in the same vein, he's going to keep getting asked, why is it basically that this is the thing? And, you know, he'll obviously play an answer and say, well, I would prefer it to be 90 minutes of a more consistent performance. But I'm with you. This seems far too much of a coincidence. And I've heard a few sort of pundits say, oh, it's just the case of we picked the team off, we analysed, contained, but it's not the best to watch. But, there's not too much else to write out about. But for yourself, Adam and Gully, because I mentioned Semedo, because I think he's worth a mention. What were your thoughts on Semedo and anybody else that stood out first half? Because I thought Neto, again, looked the most likely to first half.
Yeah, Neto really carried the can for us, and probably not just in the first half either, the whole game. I think anything, he was really driving the team forward, you know, happy to get the ball and making rows on that wing. Because I think Jimenez sometimes looked a bit lost, but he was the one that was really trying to make things happen for us. And as far as Samedo goes, I think Stu referenced it earlier that he had more of an opportunity to shine this game because we had more of the ball, so we had all the more attacking to do. I thought he was great. I thought he's not just the first half, but yeah, I think Samedo had a really good game for us and much improved from what we've saw previously.
Yeah, I think the nice thing with Samedo is he's almost got the technical quality of a midfielder who can kind of have the ball high up the pitch in tight areas and still maintain it. You know, they were getting quite a few numbers over on his side. And Lewis was, had a bit of a running battle with him. But he seemed to get the better of him on most occasions and, you know, get himself out of nice little tight spots. And, I mean, the crap thing for him is if he gets into a decent position to cross, we're not getting bodies into the box for him to find. You can't blame him for that. You know, he'll put it across, but if there's nobody there to get on the end of things, then, you know, why bother to a certain extent? But I thought, honestly, first half, he was the best player on the pitch.
Real. And I mean, in terms of the second half, because there's really not too much more to draw on, really, as I think of that first half. The second half, again, as we did the first, I thought we started well, and I thought Pedence got more on the ball as well and was again more likely to. But yeah, there's not much more to draw on that. We eventually got what seemed like a foothold in the game on the 80th minute with the Jimenez goal. Gully, as I'm on you, as you're on my screen here, talk me through the Jimenez goal or anything else that stood out up until that point.
Well, the first thing I'll say about the Jimenez goal is it's nothing to do with the way Nuno set the team up. It was a free kick that went into the box. Jimenez has made a strange decision to come to the edge and he's finished brilliantly, to be fair.
It was a tactical sort of masterclass. Yeah, but yeah,
it was a bit of an odd one, but I guess, you know, fair play. Individuals are allowed to really, express themselves in whichever way they feel the need to do so. And that it paid off for us. But I'm on a real kind of downer with Nuno today, just because I feel that, you know, with the way we set the team up, the phrase I used on Twitter was we fought like a boxer with one arm tied behind the back and our left. We didn't have a left hook or a jab or anything from our left side today. So we saw, and the right hand side of the team ended up suffering as a result of that. And you can't get away from that today for me. And you can't allow a team like Newcastle. I was saying to Stu just before we came on, 3 years we've been in the Premier League now, and we're playing Newcastle as if we played them the season that we came up. They've not progressed as a club. We are, in theory, an established, you know, European side now in all but name this season. Why are we going at home to Newcastle with such a tentative, you know, mindset and setup? It really, really frustrates me.
It's funny you say that as well, because at the end of the game, obviously I was watching it through a Qatari-based sports channel, shall we say. And I'll give it away. I said Mr. Gray on the end of game analysis said something similar about Newcastle, saying that, like, they've just come here to spoil the game. And he said, with all due respect to Wolves, they're not playing a Man City or, you know, Liverpool. So why are Newcastle coming to be so negative, you know, towards Wolves as well? So it just seemed like today we're just two negative teams just cancel each other out.
I think though, it's probably what Gully referenced earlier. It's the fact that Nuno is showing he can't perhaps compromise in terms of a way of playing, irrespective of opposition. I don't know if that's unfair or not, but, you know.
If you had a look at his, you look back at his interviews, his most used word would probably be balance, guaranteed. Because that's all he looks for in every wherever the ball is on the pitch, are we balanced? And that's probably it. You know, he goes home, sleeps well at night just because we're balanced. But, you know, we still a 1-1 draw with fucking Newcastle.
And we compete.
At least he ain't got an inner ear infection. We know that much.
so that was our goal. Before we look at Crystal Palace, because we'll have a guest shortly join us to preview that. To sign off on Newcastle, we've obviously got to discuss, unfortunately, the 89th minute equaliser. Do anyone want to pick up the pieces on this? What are your overall thoughts? I guess there's two parts to this, isn't there, really?
One, is Stu our resident goalkeeper?
I mean, was it The free, it's a soft free kick, but why give the ref an option in the first place?
Yeah.
Let's just say that about that. But to line your wall up like that, I mean, when we played on Sundays, obviously it was only five sides and we didn't have a wall, but I would never put you two on a wall. But it was just, you could see from a mile off what exactly what was going to happen. I mean, you're just inviting it for yourself. And if you're going to do that, then stand in the middle of the goal. It's a bad wall by Patricio. It's his fault. End of the day, there's no one else to blame but him. He lined it up, he cocked up his positioning, and it went to the bottom of the net. Simple. And the thing is about it, I'm not even, I was sent to Gully. I mean, I came on here laughing and joking because it's just, I fully expected it to be this shit tonight. It was not even remotely a surprise because it's almost got to the stage where it's like huddle level of just meh. Because you,
easy, just at
a higher level. Because I know
put the amber bitter down, Stu.
I have. I'm going to get it up again. But I know exactly that it's going to be the same on Friday, and it's going to be the same thing. We're going to be all from the first half. We might pick up the pace a bit in the second half, and hope Zaha doesn't do us again. And that will be the game plan. And it's just the same every week. And we got lucky against Leeds, and how Villa got destroyed by him. It looks like a tactical masterclass, but it's just turning into, it's just too, like Nuno said himself, it's just, we need to be less predictable. And if anything, we're more predictable.
I just think, I don't know if Stu's turned into a Ashmer Park, Adrian Durham over here, but Ad, can you bring any balance? We talked about balance to it because I actually didn't think it was that bad. I just, you know, bar that sloppy free kick and that, you know, wall that, you know, was ineffective. You could have been going away and going, yeah, okay, it wasn't exciting, but they played it to perfection. And another clean sheet and another win. What did you think, Ad?
I know. The problem is with that, with the way we play, is that how we set up to win games in the second half, we almost struggle to respond to anything any adversity that comes back to us. So, all right, we get the goal through Jimenez, you know, and you could argue that, again, the key. Well, to be fair, Cardarlo, after the game, admitted himself straight up. He said, I should have saved that easily. Mm. So he's come out and said that should never have happened. But so even up until that point, you know, Fabio Silva, again, we've spent a lot of money on him, and granted he's one for the future, but he's sat on the bench again, and we've not, the thought's probably not coming to his head to bring him on to try and change things up and get him on the bench. So that's, at the minute, you know, it's just promoting more questions around him at the moment that we've just not seen him since, well, what's the last game he played for us? Was it Stoke in the Cup or something? I think that he, I barely saw him in the league game, basically.
You know what? And then, just to jump in, it'd make more sense at this point to just put Vitinha on the bench and just not put Silva on at all, because he's not going to feature. He's not going to be get involved whatsoever. So why waste a place?
Exactly. I just thought, you know, he's there for a reason, and surely that, you know, you could play both him and Jimenez, but you know what will happen. If ever Silva takes the pitch, he'll be in place of Jimenez. But the only thing is that Jimenez never gets subbed off, does he? Then, for the goal, I had a sense of dread as soon as the free kick was given. I could just see what was going to happen. You know, what was it, 89th minute free kick, and they barely troubled our goal all game. Just see, I just didn't realise that, you know, that, because Patricio, you know, he's been great for us. So let's just put this down to a one-off, you know, that he's not just set up a wall up correctly for whatever reason. You know, he's faced a lot of free kicks over the, you know, the time he's been with us, and he's been more than capable. So not quite sure what's happened with this one, but we're just kicking ourselves, really, because again, we've played in a functional manner. We've not been exciting. We've not really been all that entertaining, and we've let the team come back in again. Another thing, again, it was referenced that up until we scored our goal, Newcastle didn't want to know. And then we scored our goal, and they've suddenly, Newcastle decided, oh, let's go and play now because we've got a game to rescue. And it's just a bit of a, you know, bit of a shame how their goal come about.
There's a bottom line here, and that is when you play on such kind of fine margins like we do, where we don't go and look to go 2-3-0 up. If there's one thing you can guarantee with football, it's always going to kick you in the bollocks at some point. And that's exactly what happened today. Again, 1-0 is not good enough against that Newcastle team. We should be 2-3-0 up against that team by committing to attack. We had nothing to worry about in defence at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're gonna consistently look for a one, and that's what Nuno did. He looked for a 1-0 victory today.
Yeah.
And you can't excuse that when you then go and concede a bit of a shitty goal and it's 1-1. It's not acceptable for me.
You got exactly what we deserved.
Yeah.
Because we played within us. I mean, last season it was understandable to play within ourselves because of the sheer amount of games that we had to play with such a small squad. Then you can understand it. But we ain't playing till Friday. So what's the problem?
And look, don't forget, look at the players that we have available to us. We have an unbelievable squad of players. Use them to the best of their ability. And that's not what we're doing right now.
It's almost like they've got in this rut now of that this is how we have to play. We have to be wanking the first half every week because this is how we play. And it's almost like habit now, like dragged over from last season when there was a necessity for it. Because you look at the Fulham game, same again, terrible. Look at Leeds, understandable because Leeds are a decent team and we did a good job against them. But you take the fact of where Leeds were in the table, it was a similar performance. It was just defensive and we hit them with a very rare chance of goal. And you think, why? Why is this happening again? And like you said, Gully, it's 3 years in now. Nuno said himself that we have to evolve. And if anything, we've gone backwards. It's just madness.
Well, you could say that, but then, you know, you compare starts of this season and so forth. I think, you know, do we give any, I don't know, ground for the fact that it's been transitional, you know, and maybe we've got some early growing pains with this. I don't know. But I mean, what we'll do is, because we've got a guest joining us now, is for the Palace review. So that's the Newcastle game in summary. We're hoping, I think, to have a better 90 minutes for the Palace game. And we're going to be previewing this next. Okay, gents, I'm just going to admit Jack, because he's been patiently waiting.
I think he's
in the green room. Yeah.
You there, mate?
Actually, that seems like a great room.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Am I working?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I won't touch anything then.
No, that's fine. Were you just hearing us having a bit of a moan then, or?
No, I didn't. No. No. indulge yourselves a bit more, lads. You know, it's, you know.
Is it listening tomorrow?
Yeah, by all means, have a listen when it's out. But yeah, we were. I think you messaged me, Jack, and you kind of thought that from a neutral perspective, unless you've got any irrational dislike to us or Newcastle. I assume you watched it as a neutral that you kind of
thought we
had it in the bag, I suppose, didn't you? Man,
I did. I thought you had it in the bag. I mean, it was one for the purists, and I think even some of the purists might have turned off, to be honest. But it was very tight. And, you know, when you go one up with 10 minutes to go, you hope to hold out, and you do. But for what I thought first instinct was a bit of a soft free kick. And then, you know, as I said in my message to you, if you don't set up a wall and there's, you know, a glimmer, especially with the technical ability in the Premier League, someone's going to hit the target from there if there's a chance. And Patricio can't get there quickly enough, and it's 1-1. So, I know, I'm sure you guys are disappointed, but this league does that to you. You know,
you've got fucking shit, Jack, honestly, man.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. What did you think of Patricio? Did you think he could have done a bit better, or is the blame with the wall?
Yeah.
He's completely fucked it up. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the rare miss from him.
Yeah, he's
yeah, now he's yeah. Really good.
He's had, you could count it on one hand, couldn't you, the amount of times he's let us down in the last 3 years. Yeah. So it's just one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, with the number on his shirt, he's probably expected to be playing left wing. So, you know, he's having a goal, a pretty good one.
Right. That's cool. I'll just make a note of timing, gents. Okay. So, Moving on to the game against Palace, I was going to just in that intro say we are or they're entertaining us, but I think after that performance, it probably won't be ourselves. Our guest can tell us if he thinks that, his team might bring a little bit more of a box office audience to the game. So that is Palace on Friday night, and it's Jack Pearce from the 5-year plan. Jack, how you doing?
Not bad, thanks, gents. On the back of a Palace win, it's nice to have a Sunday looking back with a positive rather than a negative. So I'm okay. I'm looking forward to next week. You always look forward to the next fixture after a win. Not often the case after a defeat. So looking forward to, as you say, it's in box office, but judging by the previous games that have been on box office so far, haven't exactly bought the the name of the Premier League to life. So we'll see what happens on Friday night. And I think it's going to be sixth versus seventh in the league, isn't it? So
I think it was at time of recording. I think, is there a game going on now, which okay. we might have dropped, so we might be 8-4-9. Oh, okay. I was thinking is this the fight for Europe then? Is that it?
certainly the fight for the top half. We're just happy to be there, to be honest. We'll take the top half right now. And I think I'm right in saying this is our equal best start to a Premier League season after six games. We're relatively happy with where we are. Hasn't been the most exciting start. We have played a combination of some nice football, but also some what I like to call Roy ball, which is kind of, everyone behind the ball. And, we'll see what the attack can do. A prime example of that was Brighton match last week, where we somehow managed to draw a game 1-1 without having a shot, let alone a shot on target. So,
has Mr. Hodgson trademarked that phrase,
Roy ball? I don't know. That's actually come from a discussion between myself and a good friend who's a Fulham fan, who also experienced the highs and lows of Roy ball. And he was the one that gave me Roy ball as a phrase. I'm happy to run with it. But I don't know. I think Roy's a bit of a lefty, so he's probably happy for it to be kind of given to everybody, kind of for the greater good.
But you mentioned the start to the season, so in terms of an overview on a results perspective, and there's probably more detail within that, but so you started off Southampton, wasn't it, on the first game, a win there, and then you've got 3-1 win at Old Trafford as well, which I think stood out to many. And then a couple of losses, Everton, Chelsea, the draw you mentioned, and then the Palace game, from as I understand it, 2-1, but they got a goal pretty much at the last kick. So it's with those six games you mentioned, sort of statistically, it's a good start. As a fan, does it feel a good start?
Yeah, it does. I think, when you guys kindly had me on towards the end of last season, I was saying that the squad needed a bit of freshening up and we ended the season last time out quite poorly and struggled really. It was nice to finish the end. I think after we spoke, our last game was Spurs at home and we managed to get a draw then. So we didn't finish with eight defeats on the bounce, which would have been a bit more of a negative. I don't know if that made too much of a difference, but we started the season well. That win against Southampton on the first day of the season was a real positive, actually. And looking at their form since, particularly today's result against Everton, that looks like an increasingly good result. Whereas, the 3-1 against United, given their home form since then, looks like par for the course, to be honest. But, it's a promising start. And, I'd say probably, the Brighton game was disappointed, but you often get that with derbies. And I won't go into the history of why that is a derby. I'm sure you've all read the hipster article time after time. But in terms of non-performances, the only game that I think we can look back on and say, we really didn't compete was the Chelsea game. And actually, you could, if you analyse that properly, you could probably say it was the second half of the Chelsea game where we didn't really come out. So, in terms of six games played, you could argue for at least 5.5 of those we've been competitive, which is all a team Palace. All a team like Palace can really do. And I think there's reason to be positive for the rest of the season. Wilf started the season in great form. When we do go forward, we look like a threat. Sometimes particularly towards the end of the season after lockdown, when we did go forward, we still looked a bit toothless. Whereas this time, Wilf looks like he's really up for it. if we've got goals coming in from midfield, you know, yesterday Jairo Riedewald popped up with one. That's really helpful. That takes the burden off Will, which actually might relax him a bit more, and perhaps see that his stats this season might improve as we go on. But yeah, really, really pleasing start for Palace. And I think Friday night's game at Molineux will be, a good test for Palace with where we are. As good a result against Fulham as it was, I think most teams, you know, Palace and Wolves included, will look to go to Craven Cottage and win games this season. So for us, that's a relief to have picked up the 3 points rather than a surprise result. But nonetheless, you know, 3 points is 3 points, and, you know, 10 points after six games looks better than 7 or 8. So we're happy with our start.
Real. Gents, have you got anything to add as you look towards Palace, really? It sounds as if they're in a good start, and I think our start is similar, as Jack referenced, in terms of league placing, but we've just come off the back, and it's a difficult one because when you come off the back, as I'm sure Jack understands, of a game which didn't go our way, you can probably be a little bit, weighed down by that, I guess. But how are you thinking, you know, the Palace game? Add any thoughts for Palace at the moment?
Well, I mean, just a double barrel question on the last Jack was... it's just a double surprise question, really. Are you surprised that Roy is still there? And are you surprised that Wilf is still there as well?
I'm not surprised Roy is still there. I think it was such a short window, short pre-season, such a short window to change managers. I wasn't surprised. That said, when Eddie Howe became free from Bournemouth, there was some talk that, that could be quite a nice switch. But obviously that hasn't developed. that hasn't developed, but he's still obviously available in the looking for work. So that's an option further down the line. But I wasn't surprised that Roy started the season, simply because, you know, the type of pre-season that we had, this unusual setup this season. And as for Wilf, I think I said when I came on in July, you know, the club have a value for Wilf, and unless anybody wanted to meet that value, he wasn't really going anywhere. You know, I think he's changed agents again to see if there's a greater scope for a move elsewhere. But the truth of it is, unless a club pays what, you know, Steve Parish considers his value to be, which I wouldn't even want to speculate in this kind of unusual upside down world that we live in at the moment, it's not going to come. But from what I understand, there was actually no interest in terms of firm offers.
Is it George Mendes by any chance? Because then he's come to Wolves for a fiver.
No, he went to Peeney to Harvey, the name from yesteryear who looked after some of the big hitters years ago, and that hasn't worked out. I don't know who he's gone to since, or whether he's kept that quiet this time round. But I think the idea
how does a fiver sound?
Well, I'll take anything, to be honest. I'm not the greatest negotiator, but I think Steve Parish has a bit more about him than I do. But no, he's certainly worth more than a fiver. And I think it might have been that the lack of interest in the summer was because of a rather, you know, deadbeat end towards the season for Palace in general, let alone just Wilf. So I think, you know, if he'd ended the season with a bag of goals and a few more assists, then, you know, offers might have come in a bit more for him. But I wasn't really surprised that either started. I think for Wilf, I think next summer could be his time. And I think, you know, judging by how intense his form is and how much he's looking to, you know, stretch teams and show his skills as often as he is this season, he might have an eye towards next summer. I can't see us selling him in January. I don't think Palace could really afford to lose such an influence halfway through a season. I think there was some consideration by the media that the signing of Eberechi Eze from QPR was a kind of a nod towards replacing Wilf, but that may well be the course in due course. But for now, I think Eze is there to kind of add depth to the squad. He certainly will start to figure more, but I don't think his involvement with the first team is dependent on Wilf either being there or not. I think they're currently playing two different roles for the team.
What have you made of Eze so far? Because I think he's a brilliant player. I think he'd improve our starting 11, honestly.
Technically, he's absolutely superb. He came on against Southampton in the first day of the season for 20 minutes, and technically, he was right there. He was at the level that he needed to be. I think playing in a team or in a squad, I guess, with Roy being so structured and so, you know, resolute and defence-minded, he won't have the freedoms that he had at QPR last season in the Championship, but I think he'll appreciate that. You know, you don't step up into the Premier League and expect to you know, just play your same game. So I think he appreciates, he seems very level-headed, so I'm sure he understands that he's got to develop his game. But I'm really excited by him, and I think Palace fans are too. It was nice to get that business done early. It was nice to get that business done quite effectively as well, because as you say, lots of clubs in the Premier League would have been looking at him. But apparently the lure of staying in South London, where he's from, was a big draw, and he seems to have really settled very well. And I think he will start to feature more and more as the season goes on. And I don't think he'll start against you guys on Friday. I think Jeffrey Schlupp will probably keep his place, but he's certainly a really good addition and adds quality and depth to the midfield area for sure.
How do you rate young Mitchell at left back? Because whenever I've seen him, he looks superb.
Yeah, this is a bit similar to Aaron Wan-Bissaka in that he got his chance because of injuries. I don't think Roy was looking to blood a teenager. I think he made his first start against you guys in the 2-0 in July. And
against Traoré.
He dealt with Adama fairly well. I think Adama had him on toast a couple of times, but he does that against most left-backs. But Mitchell, he's really, you know, put himself in the first team. And Van Aanholt's now fit. And you'd have thought if Roy had doubts about Mitchell that Van Aanholt would have come straight back into the team. He hasn't. He's very good defensively. He hasn't shown a great deal going forward. But again, in a Roy Hodgson team, that's not always a bad thing. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Roy likes what he's seen. And, you know, a bonus point for Tyreek was squaring up to Lamptey of Brighton last week. So that was always a nice moment when you're playing in a derby match like that. So he doesn't look like he's intimidated by the level he's playing at. And I think, you know...
Anyone actually square up to Lamptey? Because he only comes up to people's belly buttons, don't they? Doesn't he?
Well, I think Tyreek's fairly diminutive himself. But yeah, I think he had at least a good couple of inches on him. But it was great to see him get a chance towards the end of last season. And it's bad luck for Van Aanholt because he didn't lose his place for anything other than a freak injury against United. But, you know, that's the risk that professional footballers pay. You know, you are an injury away from a spell on the sidelines. And then it's interesting what Palace will do there because, Mitchell's form might impact the decision that is made regarding Van Aanholt's future, given that he's out of contract next summer. So nice to have options, and it's nice to see a youngster come through as well. He's very impressive so far and certainly warrants his starting berth at the moment for certain.
He seems a bit of a personality, that Van Aanholt. Didn't he have a bit of a Twitter ruck with Katie Hopkins?
He took her to town, and anyone that takes on Katie Hopkins is good by me. So PVA did very well there, and I think he became a bit of a social media icon for a while. There was some suspicion that a lot of PVA's activity is done by someone other than himself, but I think he certainly took ownership of his battles with Katie Hopkins for sure. Yeah. As of now, I don't think he's had a go at real Trump yet. I think he's left the presidential election for two others for now. But he's a bit of a character for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And Stu, when Jack mentioned Eddie Howe, I kind of cut to you because I think you were probably thinking, no, please don't go down that route and give Eddie Howe another shot at the Premier League. Is that what you think? You're not in biggest fan,
in polite terms. Yeah, I was thinking Jack, don't buy into the hype, because I think Gully and Pricey had the same thought then when you think, oh, Eddie Howe, the media lovey and England's great hope. No. The man's a fraud. Keep him away from the Premier League at all costs.
I didn't quite buy the hype with Howe, but I think just him becoming available. There was rumours of him. I mean, this is going back probably 9-10 years ago when Steve Parish first got involved with the club, but apparently Howe was quite close to taking over. So I think it's fairly lazy, investigative social media post putting that one together. But I think, you know, it's quite possible that should Roy move on, when Roy moves on, I think, you know, the manager, someone like Eddie Howe's CV would be attractive to Palace, even if certain Wolves fans don't consider him a good option. But I'll pass the feedback back on to Steve, and I'll let him know.
I'm sure that'll come into his thinking. But yeah, like you say, there's always certain names for certain clubs, isn't there? We've been linked with Steve Bruce for the last sort of, you know, how many merry-go-rounds, for example. So no, I get that. But yeah, I mean, we're going off on a bit of a tandem there, but just to bring it back to the game on Friday, as you say, we've gone off to you guys have gone off to a good start. How do you see that playing out?
Right now, I take a draw. I always consider a draw away from home in the Premier League a fair enough result, particularly against a team as productive as and as threatening as you guys have been previously. So I think it's going to be quite tight. You know, as I said, we're coming into it with, you know, fairly decent mood around the camp, I'm guessing. So provided there's no more injuries or COVID positive tests, we've had two within the squad so far. So that's possibly a concern for the club moving forward. They'll want to avoid any more infections happening within the kind of bubble. So if we go with a fully, full strength squad, then I expect us to give you a game for sure. How that pans out, I think it'll be quite close. So, you know, my instinct says a draw, but I can't see it being more than one either way, to be honest, if it is one of us to take it. What about you guys?
I was going to say exactly the same thing. It's going to be, I mean, after watching that and our last two games before today, then it ain't going to be a classic. It's like you said earlier, it's not going to live up to the pay-per-view billing, really, is it?
I'd chuck your house on 0-0 at half time, Jack, if you wanted some advice. And 1-0 with a scratchy Jimenez goal at some point in the second half, and then probably an equaliser. And that'll do for the.
I would take that. I'd take that right now, to be honest.
I mean, we're really struggling to score at the minute. And we've scored a few fortuitous goals last couple of games. So. Yeah, I'll probably go with the 1-1 and Jimenez, because that's all who scores for us at the moment. And then probably Zaha will end up turning one of their fullbacks inside out and get a deflected shot in the goal.
has anyone told Semedo that part of the brief as a wing back is he needs to tackle and actually go back the other way, because he seems to be very happy going one way. And I think having had Matt Doherty, teams got very little change out of him on that side. So I think. You know, some teams might look to go down the left-hand side and take on Semedo, which perhaps wasn't happening last season. So he's an interesting one for me. He's come with a huge price tag, obviously, you know, the CV to boot. Is he one that is going to slot in with the Doherty, or is there still a few question marks over Semedo?
Go on, Stu.
No, I was going to say that we've had an inner conflict already, as is the Wolves' way about these things. And if he's a waste of money or if he's just bedding in. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement that he had a better game today than he has done. But defensively, he looks... Tracking back because of his speed doesn't seem to be a problem. And he did put a couple of tackles in today where I thought, oh, fair play to you. But balls over the top, he looks very suspect, which Doherty didn't. It was the other way around with Doherty. So it's just another learning curve for the whole team in general.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. You know, Wilf has started, you know, as one of two up top for the season so far, but, you know, he does naturally drift out to that left-hand side. So Semedo will, have times of the game where he'll be, you know, the guy taking responsibility for Wilf. So I guess if Palace and Wilf sense that there's a bit of luck to be had against him, then that's where he'll go. But it also, you know, positively for Palace, Andros Townsend's picked up some form this season, which has been good. So we have got that balance. And, you know, I think when we came to you in July, every time we went forward, you know, the only ball we were looking for was Wilf. Whereas this time we're a little bit more, you know, flexible and variable in where we look to put the ball. So, it'd be interesting. Be a good game. But, yeah, the 0-0 at half time might be where the value's at for anyone looking for a bet.
Brilliant. And just finally, Jack, thanks again for joining us. It's great always to have you on when we meet, just to get your viewpoint. And I'm sure we'll speak to you soon.
Anytime, lads. Always a pleasure. And if Palace do nick the points, I won't expect to hear from you again. But cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
So that was the Palace. Preview, really.
Baby Bell.
Baby Bell. Oh, God. Right. 9:04. I might just leave the scene, actually. So sorry, it's going to be a long night. So if you're listening to this, what you won't be able to see is just Bit of a mess of notes here this evening coming into it. So anyway, back on track. So that was the Palace preview. And thank you to Jack Pierce from the 5-year plan. Always great, guys. I think getting an alternative perspective. And I think he spoke well and fair about, you know, Palace on the weekend.
Yeah, he always does. He speaks sense and he's not as biased as you'd expect someone from the opposition to be in these circumstances.
Yeah, he's very, very articulate in how he talks about Palace and the players and Roy the boy. So yeah, it's always a good pleasure having him on.
Real. So yeah, we'll see how Roy Ball develops on Friday. So what we'll be moving on to now, I guess, really is the answer smash. So this won't mean anything to anyone listening, but I'm recording this by my phone. So for the guys on the chat, you may see me staring into my phone because I'll need to view Dan's questions that he's kindly sent in. Before we do the answer smash, there's the three questions, so one each for each of you guys. So the first question I've got here, courtesy of Dan, is for Stu. So, Wolves drew 1-1 at home to Preston 15 years ago this week. Name our goal scorer, and that's just for Stu.
At home or away? Was that?
They drew 1-1 at home to Preston, yeah.
Not that that makes any difference.
2005.
Kennedy.
Incorrect. You don't get any points, gents, but do either of you want to hazard a guess on that question? 1-1 at home to Preston 15 years ago. Who scored for us?
If it's that season, I'll just kind of blindly go Kenny Miller as just a random guess, to be honest, at this kind of thing.
I don't know if it was the home or away one. I can't remember which, but I was going to go with Rowan Ricketts.
Okay. It was a bit of a cult hero, I thought. Vio Guinea.
He was crazy.
I remember him scoring a goal away at Newcastle and going absolutely mad for it.
And the last away game of the season.
I think we were talking about sort of on the group chat earlier, and what this might come out on a Twitter poll for people listening about worst 11s and worst players, but I think crazy 11s as well would be quite a good one. Yeah. You know, just a nutter 11, and I think he would probably get a place up front.
I remember when he scored at home. It might have been after his injury, and he dived in the North Bank and got his second yellow and got sent off for diving in the North Bank.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, next question is over to Gully. So 8 years ago today, Wolves drew 1-1 at home, this time to Charlton, who was our goal scorer.
2012. Oh, was that the dreaded Saunders season, I think? Oof. I'm going to go at home to Charlton.
Yes, 1-1, home to Charlton.
I'm going to go with, Ebanks Blake.
No. And any advances for Ad or Stu?
Thurman?
No.
I was just going to go, if it was that Solbakken and Saunders here, I was going to go a right wing guess as Pesco.
I thought you were going to go for the answer there with your sort of the way you're going into that, but it was Bakary Sakho.
Okay, that would have been the obvious guess, I suppose.
Yeah, so 5 years ago then, this says yesterday, so 5 years ago yesterday, Wolves lost 3-1 at home to Middlesbrough. Name our goal scorer. So 3-1 defeat at home, Middlesbrough, 5 years ago, who scored for Wolves? And that's to obviously Mr. Price.
2020, take away 5 years is 2015 by my maths. So I'm delaying again.
I can't give anything away, but I think you might be right.
2015. Middlesbrough. I'm gonna have a stab in the dark at Lee Griffiths. It's probably not right.
No, you've used Lee Griffiths to stab in the dark, and it unfortunately wasn't. It was Mr. Dave Edwards.
Oh, good old Dangerous Dave.
Yeah. So anyway, on to the aforementioned Answer Smash, which is pretty much open season, gents. What we're going to ask as a collective to you three here is this first question. As I'm reading it here for the first time. Okay, so Swedish supergroup and former Wolves winger who played for Paphos in Cyprus last season. So you're putting those two questions together to form the Answer Smash. The first part being the Swedish supergroup. Sorry, I don't interrupt you if you've got it.
I think I've got it. Abakari Saka?
That's absolutely spot on, yes.
Nice.
Paphos, imagine going to play professional football in Paphos. I wonder where he spent his weekends. I wonder where he spent his Saturday nights.
No, Gifford in Paphos, is it?
Boring Paphos, is it? So next one is former Wolves defender and religion of the Pope. So those two questions together. One being a former Wolves defender and the religion of the Pope.
Which bit comes first?
So the former Wolves defender is your first part of your Answer Smash. And to join that first part up is the second part, which is the religion of the Pope.
Darren P. Catholic.
I've got the answer and it's difficult. So
Kevin, is it Kevin Musk Catholic?
It is.
No, I got it.
Kevin
Musk. What part of the Catholic would it have been? Because it's cat.
Just takes from cat, doesn't it?
I was trying
to shoehorn Darren P. Catholic into it.
Well, Philly's won, but we're going to go with the last question.
Of course he has.
Because why not? So former Wolves utility man of the 90s and the American singer who wants to fly away with his American woman.
Neil Lemblenny Kravitz.
Correct, yes. So, yes. So, Goody takes it 2-1-0.
Neil Lemblenny Kravitz.
And that's your Answer Smash for this week. I think that's really where we're going to close it this week. As we always do, thank you to everybody who continues to support the Fancast, be on it, all the social media channels. If you like what we do, please leave us a 5-star review because we really do appreciate it. And there'll be plenty more to come for us. We'll have obviously the Palace game we previewed, the review of that game, and a few other bits in between. So, from all of us, gents, it's goodbye from Adam.
See you later.
Goodbye from Gully.
Yeah, guys, just look out for my GTA Fancast episode coming out on Wednesday to review tonight's game from a tactical perspective, and I'll see you then.
Brilliant. Check that out, everyone. And finally for Stu.
Put your house on Mill Hill halftime.
Right, see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye now.
This is what renting furniture with Feather looks like. Pieces that fit your style and your space. And cost less than your monthly phone bill. Oh, and did we mention delivery and assembly included? Feather. Start renting at livefeather.com.